Hello and welcome to episode number 52 of the Lunch Table Talk podcast and episode number 2 of this mini series I have going on called These Guys Are Good. In episode 2 of the series, I'm sure you've already read the title, I'll be talking about three people in particular: Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, and Corey Connors, two so-called villains of the PGA Tour, and then one more underrated guy that I'd like to talk about. And sorry I haven't posted in a while. I've kind of been enjoying my time off golfing just about every day. And every day that I'm not golfing, I am at work. So that's why I haven't been posting. And I don't know, the sports world, it hasn't been that interesting as of recently. I know we have the Olympics coming up, NBA finals are coming down to the wire. And I know that the Stanley Cup finals happened recently, but quite honestly, I really don't care about hockey that much. And NBA finals just haven't been doing it for me this year, even though I have watched every game. Some of the games have been harder to watch than others. Not sure why, but it's not what this is about. This episode is strictly golf, my favorite sport in the world. I do play quite a bit. That's why it's one of the reasons I haven't been posting. And just a few things before I get started with reading off about some of these guys. The Korn Ferry Tour and the Webb.com Tour, they are the same thing. Same thing goes with the Mackenzie Tour and the PGA Tour Canada. Those are also the same thing. And all statistics are from this season as of the Open Championship. So the season's pretty much coming down to it. We don't have that many tournaments left. I think there's only about 6 or 7 more tournaments before we crown the PGA Tour winner of the year, or the FedEx Cup champion, I should say. Few tournaments left as of the Open Championship. Quick shout out to Colin Morikawa and winning the Open Championship at only 24 years old. That's very impressive on his part. I can see many majors coming soon for Colin, definitely. So, starting off this episode, we do have three players we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to start it off with Bryson DeChambeau from the United States of America. He's 27 years old, 6'1", 240. Obviously, that statistic was much different a few years ago, or even last year, quite frankly. He was probably closer to about 200 pounds, and we know that he has bulked up now, up to 240. He went to Southern Methodist University in Texas. As of his wins, though, on the PGA Tour, he has 8. On the European Tour, he has 2. And on the Korn Ferry Tour, he has 1 win. As for his best major finishes, his best Masters finish is tied for 16th. His best PGA Championship finish is tied for 4th. His best Open Championship finish was tied for 33rd, which was completed today, actually. And his best U.S. Open Championship, U.S. Open finish was, obviously, first place. He won that this season, which kicked off this season's stretch of tournaments. So, as for his professional teams, he's been a one Ryder Cup team, one President's Cup team, and he'll make his United States Olympic team debut this summer in Tokyo in just a few weeks. So, congrats to him on making the Olympic team. Some stats for you guys, and then we have some other stuff to talk about, obviously, because Bryson DeChambeau deserves a somewhat lengthy segment. Can't really fit everything that this guy has to say in one episode, but we'll try and cover as much as we can. Strokes gained off the tee, 1.117, which puts him first in the PGA Tour. Strokes gained putting, 0.445, which puts him 30th. Strokes gained tee to green, 1.498. Most of that does come from driving. I think that's pretty obvious. Puts him 5th. And strokes gained total, 1.943, which puts him 2nd in the tour. His birdie or better percentage is 24.62, which puts him top 10. Putting from inside 10 feet percentage, 89.67. Putts per round, 28.84. His scoring average is 69.877, which puts him 7th on tour. Driving distance, obviously first. Not sure what the margin is in second place. I assume second place is either Cameron Champ or that kid from Russia, I forget his name, but his driving distance on average is 322.4, obviously first place. This is where a lot of the controversial stuff comes into play. Driving accuracy slash fairways hit, 53.31, so only hitting about, what would that be, 9? Well, I guess you got to take out par 3s. I'm not sure, but excluding par 3s, he's only hitting about 10 fairways around. So, greens and regulation percentage, 66.57, not bad. And sand save percentage is right on the dot at 50%. He is 4th in FedEx Cup standings. He is 6th in the World Golf Rankings. He's finished top 10 in 6 out of 18 events this season and made the cut in 16 of 18 of those events. Just some other quick tidbits. I got 3 of these. Holes per eagle, 77.1, which puts him 1st on tour. He's also 1st on tour in club head speed at 132.6 miles per hour. He became the 5th player in history to win the NCAA Division I championship and also the U.S. Amateur in the same year. I'm surprised that Hovland or Wolf didn't do that. I figure that one of those guys would have been able to do that. I know Tiger obviously did it, Phil did it, Jack probably did it, and I could not name the other person that did it. But definitely some elite company there with Tiger, Jack, and Phil Mickelson, who he's become pretty good friends with after the match they had, which was phenomenal television. Can't wait for the next one, whoever the celebrities may be. Can't wait to watch it. But enough on that. Let's talk about the controversies surrounding Bryson DeChambeau. And what should we start with? I guess we'll start off with his, dare I say, feud with other players on tour. Obviously, this started a while back. Mainly started with his pace of play when he took quite a long time to line up this 7-8 footer and obviously missed it high. So players were a little bit upset about that, or I say a lot upset. It certainly helped him, or not helped him, but certainly made him, I don't say made, but he certainly improved pace of play, is what I'm trying to say. Bryson, he's definitely an interesting dude. Can't take that away from him. He's one of my favorite guys on tour. I cannot deny it. And as of right now, I can't say I'm that big of a Brooks Koepka fan. I feel like you either hate them both, you love one of them, hate the other. I feel like most people are on that train right now. Cannot say which side people like more. I feel like people lean towards Brooks mainly because he's, I don't know, kind of this like show off, don't give a F type guy. While Bryson's more big strategy, training every day, putting in that extra work. And Brooks is just, I don't know. He's been naturally given a gift, and obviously can't take that away from him, but Bryson has also. Bryson just seems to put in that extra work, and sometimes it just doesn't seem to pan out, and I think that's why people end up liking Brooks better. But nothing against either of them. I just happen to like Bryson quite a bit more than Brooks, definitely at this moment. Not a fan of what Bryson had to say after his, I don't know, after his first round, it would have been at this year's Open Championship, so about 4 or 5 days ago. Didn't like the remarks he made about his driver. I think that was kind of childish. Justin Thomas obviously made some comments about that. You're swinging 135. It's going to be hard to find fairways. And, hey, completely agree. But Brooks was just kind of being an ass about it with multiple Instagram posts and tweets and, like, come on, like, what are we doing? What else? Let's talk about Bryson's equipment real quick. Metal spikes, which, I don't know, kind of don't seem to help him. In the U.S. Open, he did actually end up slipping on one of the later holes. I think that was, like, 12 or 13 where he ended up slipping, despite his metal spikes. Metal spikes, they come back to Brooks Koepka as well. Bryson had walked on a green previously before Brooks had putted on it, and Brooks, I guess, saw Bryson's metal spike marks, indentation still on the green, and he had made some comments post-game. And as Bryson walks behind Brooks in his post-game interview, you've seen the video, you've seen the memes, you've seen the photos. But something along the lines of, you can fix those now. Brooks gave him the eye roll. You know how the rest goes. They just don't like each other. But yeah, metal spikes didn't seem to help him on round four of the Open of the U.S. Open. Sorry, keep getting those mixed up. The U.S. Open obviously didn't help him. Slipped, hit it way right, made it an eight. So partially because of the slip, partially because he bladed a bunker shot over the green. But an eight's an eight, and it's not gonna go down on the scorecard with an asterisk because he slipped on the tee box. What else? Jumbo grips. Definitely not something you see a lot of players be using. You see plenty of them on putters, but not really on irons. I don't know if he has the same stuff on his driver, but I definitely know he has the jumbo grips on his irons and wedges. And obviously, putter's a little different too. He's got the long putter, locks in on his arm. Obviously, belly putters and contact with the body, any types of putters like that have been banned, or at least you can't press them against your body. But now they got the forearm lock putters. That's what Bryson's been using, his sick putter. I think for those of you that don't know what the sick putter is, it basically keeps the same loft despite where you hit it on the ball, or where you hit it on the putter face, which is kind of interesting. I could definitely see how that could help. It seemed to help him quite a bit. I mean, he's top 30 in strokes gained putting. Holes per eagle, he's first. Birdie or better total, he's top 10. Putting from inside 10 feet, he's just around 90%. So it seemed to help him. Whatever helps your game, hey, I'm not going to diss him for it. And then, obviously, he also has, what else does he have? I think his general training atmosphere also is just a little strange. Some of the things that he's done, he doesn't do typical training stuff. He does a lot of stuff with speed training. Not a lot of cardio, but he definitely, we've seen the photos, we've seen before and after photos of his bulking up process. We've had players comment on that, Matt Fitzpatrick, to point out somebody. Never been a fan of Matt Fitzpatrick, and especially not after that comment he made. You could go bulk up, but we know you won't. He did it to improve his game. He won a U.S. Open because of it, and a few other tournaments because of it. So I commend him for that, all the hard work he's put in. Congrats to Bryson. I wish him best of luck. Obviously, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I'm missing. You know, bulking, he's got the diet, big personality. He's got the clothing. The hat, people don't love, but I can get over that. What else? Grips. I don't know. He's obviously not using an illegal driver, but it certainly looks like a long drive driver, like someone that like Tim Burke or Kyle Brookshire would use. It's at like 5 degrees aloft. Mine's at like 9.5, and I can still barely hit it. So I don't know how he even like finds fairways with that thing. So I don't know. I don't think there's anything I'm missing with Bryson. There's certainly a lot to cover, especially in this past year. A lot has come up about him and about his game, and I'm just gonna let him do him. The caddy thing was a little weird, but I don't know, nothing you can do about it. Bryson's gonna continue to be Bryson. He's gonna continue to put as much math as possible into the game, and whatever makes you play better, go for it. It seemed to help him this season. He has the most tournament wins, I believe, or at least he's tied with the most tournament wins on tour this PGA season. So I commend him for it, and I think he's a good player, and I think he's going to be pretty dominant in the PGA world in years to come. So Bryson DeChambeau for you, everybody. That's definitely going to be the longest segment I have on anybody. But next up, we're going to move on to villain number two, and that's going to be Patrick Reed, from the United States. He's 30 years of age, 6 foot, 200 pounds. He went to Augusta State University. His wins come from 3 on the European Tour. He has 9 on the PGA Tour. As for his best major finishes, the Masters. He did win that pretty recently. PGA Championship best finish was tied for 2nd. The Open Championship was top 10 at exactly solo 10th. And his best U.S. Open finish was 4th. So, top 10 in at least every major. Very impressive stuff by Patrick Reed. As for his professional teams, he was on, I guess it would be 4 years ago, he was on the United States Olympic team. He also has 3 Ryder Cup appearances and 3 President Cup appearances. As for his statistics, strokes gained around the green, 0.393, which puts him 14th in the league, or on tour, sorry. Putting, our strokes gained putting, 0.674, which put him top 10 at 9th. Strokes gained tee to green, 0.911, which puts him 27th. And strokes gained total, 1.586, which puts him 8th on tour. Birdie or better percentage is 36.12, which puts him 2nd on tour. Putting from inside 10 feet percentage, 87.97, which puts him 28th on tour. Putts per round, 27.83, which puts him 1st on tour. Scoring average, 69.976, which puts him 13th. Driving distance, way less than Bryson, but right around that 300 mark at 290.8. His driving accuracy percentage slash fairways hit percentage is 64.21. Greens and reg percentage, pretty close to his fairways hit percentage at 62.67. Sand save percentage at 61.74. He's currently 20th in the FedEx Cup standings and 9th in the official World Golf Rankings. He's finished top 10 in 6 of 20 events this season and made the cut in 15 of 20 of those events. I just thought I should mention, because I know I didn't mention it, or maybe I did, but I don't remember doing it. Bryson is 6th in the OWGR. Two other things for Patrick Reed. His one putt percentage is 44.97. That's one stat that certainly stood out to me, and I'll talk about a little bit more about that in a moment. And he propelled his collegiate team to win 2 national championships. Augusta State University, don't really know much about it. Definitely don't think it's a big school, because I really hadn't heard of it before I had researched Patrick Reed's stats. But 2 national championships. Not sure if that's Division 1, 2, or 3, or NAIA. Could not really tell you. But 2 national championships, nonetheless, very impressive. I can only assume he was the best player on that team. So, Patrick Reed. Where do we begin? I think there's only a few things, a few incidences, I should say, that people want to talk about. And that's going to be the cheating. I put that in quotations, cheating, that goes on in Patrick Reed's game. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And I know that that sounds a little strange. Cheating on the biggest stage in the world, when you're a top 20 golfer on tour, how can that be a good thing? It's definitely not a good thing. I just don't think it's as bad as people think it is. It doesn't happen as often as you think. And even when he does, move his ball, I'm not justifying it at all. I'm just saying it has never affected his placement in a tournament. I will say that. The tournament that he won this season, he won it by, I think, three or four strokes. So the penalty drop, whatever you want to call it, that he took, did not really affect him that much. He could have, I don't know what I'm trying to say. He didn't need to do that, is what I'm trying to say. And I know it puts me in a bad position to make it sound like I'm justifying Patrick Reed's cheating. But It certainly does happen more than you may think. Signing incorrect scorecards happens way more than you think. I guess that's kind of a form of cheating, not really on-course cheating. That doesn't happen very much, and I think that's where most people look for Patrick Reed's incidences. But I just want to point out another player that has cheated in years past, and actually cheated in the same tournament as Patrick Reed, and that was Rory McIlroy. Never loved Rory, never really hated Rory either. His dominant years were a thing of beauty. And that tournament that Patrick Reed cheated, Rory came out the exact same day and did the exact same thing. And that got no media coverage. And I think that's because people like to hate on Patrick Reed for moving his ball about, what, like three times in his, like, 8-year career. I mean, I think there's a point where you got to get over it and you got to understand that if Patrick Reed's competing, it's going to be hard to beat him. And he's won plenty of tournaments by plenty of margin. He has a Masters. He's finished top five in the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open. I feel like he's won the Players before. Can't confirm that, though. And he's finished top 10 in the Open Championship. I know right now, this season, he hasn't been the best, but he has won a tournament on tour this year. And he's certainly not the only player that's cheated. Although the players that do get cheated, that are caught cheating, they usually apologize, and that's one thing I don't like about Reed, is that he doesn't really own up to the cheating incidences against him. At least I've never seen him do that. Like Abraham Ancer, for example, one of my favorite players on tour. He did, in a tournament pass this season, he did brush a little sand in his backswing. He owned up to it, didn't even know he did it. And that's why Abraham Ancer is one of my favorite players. Not just because he owned up to that one thing that he didn't know he did, but all around a great guy. I think I might have an episode about him coming soon, so look out for that. But yeah, Reed, just own up to your mistakes. And I mean, I think you're a great competitor, and I think you can compete easily without moving your ball or cheating, or however he manages to cheat on tour these nowadays. With all the patrons out there, I really don't know how he gets it done. But that's the ending. I'm going to end my segment on Patrick Reed there, and we're going to move on to Corey Connors, a lesser known player, if you will. So Corey Connors from Canada. He's 29 years old, 6 foot 190. He went to Kent State University. His wins, there's not many of them. He has one on the PGA Tour and none on the Korn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour Canada, or PGA Tour Latin America. His best major finishes, though, in the Masters, his best finish is tied for 8th. PGA Championship, best finish is tied for 17th. And the Open Championship, his best finish was tied for 15th. Could have been an easy top, 7 if he had just shot even par today. But he just really didn't have a good day today. But, I mean, he can get past it. I know he's a good player, and I'm sure he'll come back stronger than ever. Professional teams. He played on the Aruba Cup team for PGA Tour Canada once, and he's going to be representing Canada with Mackenzie Hughes this season in Tokyo. So congrats to him on making the Olympics team. Stats for Corey Connors. Strokes gained off the tee, 0.622, which puts him top 10. Strokes gained approach to green, 0.742, which puts him top 10. Strokes gained tee to green, 1.273, which puts him 14th. And strokes gained total, 1.322, which put him 19th. Birdie or better percentage, 22.75. Putting from inside 10 feet percentage, 87.01. Putts per round, 29.31. Scoring average, 70.094, which puts him top 20. Driving distance, 994.4. Driving accuracy percentage slash fairways hit percentage, 69.57, which puts him 11th on tour. Greens in regulation percentage, 69.71, which puts him top 10. Sand safe percentage, 48.62. He's currently 27th, in the FedEx Cup standings and 37th in the official World Golf rankings. He's finished top 10 in 7 of 25 events played this season, and he's made the cut in 21 of 25 of those events played this season. I think he's really, Connors is a really good player. And although most people are thinking of recent tournaments, and obviously today's Open Championship does come to mind, where he didn't shoot a great score, and dropped out of top 5 into tied for 15th, I believe it was. But he really is a phenomenal player. His accuracy is amongst the best on tour. His putting isn't the best, but his irons are always dialed. His driving accuracy is phenomenal. And around the green, he's pretty solid as well. So I believe Corey Connors can be a very solid player on tour. I think he's currently 27th in FedEx Cup standings. I think he can get to definitely top 25. I can see him getting into the top 20 by the season's end. And I feel like most people don't know that he was even 27th. And 27th is definitely not something to bat an eye at. It was a very, very impressive season thus far by Corey Connors. Even though he does only have one win on tour, I can see many, many coming in his near future, especially next season. I think he'll have a great season. I mean, as long as he continues what he's doing great stuff currently, and I think he'll be able to easily continue that into next season and to finish off this season strong. I'm excited to see what he can do out of Canada. Canadians going strong on the PGA Tour currently. Two of them are headed to Tokyo, so hopefully they represent Canada well, just not better than the United States. So that is going to end off today's episode. We talked about Bryson, we talked about Patrick Reed, and we talked about Corey Connors. So yeah, that's going to be the end of today's episode. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at lunchtabletalk_. And once again, that is on Instagram. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, give 5 stars, all that fun stuff. And be sure to look out for the next episode. Bye.